see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
What I tell you, family, what I tell you, it's going by the book, what Johnny Cash says. The song was made sometime after he became born again. Of course, he had his troubles in the days when he was country music singing about drinking and all that sort of thing, but he became born again later in his life. He had a tumultuous life, but he became born again. So did Bill Cooper, became born again. It tends to change a man. Woman, children, a country. It's about change. You won't change? Jesus Christ can do it. Nobody nowhere else can do it. Literally. It's going to take tribulations, earthquakes, and rumors, wars, and so forth to get people's attention. Only time people really get their attention on the outside, that, and this is even in Christianity, Christians that go to church every Sunday or whatever, and the mega churches and the rock and roll, and they have an etheric feeling. And then you have the Pentecostal, where they're jumping over pews and running around counterclockwise in the pews, like they're running a mini 440 race or something. Family, you know that's closely equivalent to exactly the same thing that's done at the Mecca and in other tribal. They don't know that. They really don't know that that is a Kundalini spirit inside that church. They don't realize that. Because when they go around those pews into some of the country churches, it's always counterclockwise. Always. It's exactly the thing they do in Mecca around the cube. And the cube is Saturnalia, worship of Satan, and they don't know it. They do not know it. And because they don't know it, it means that they're excused? No, it doesn't. We have holidays that are pagan background, most all of them actually. And by participating in them, we're participating in the ritual. I'm sorry, I got to tell the truth, you know. And even baseball. Did you know that baseball, the baseball diamond, did you know that baseball itself was a game created by Doubleday, a name by the name of Doubleday, as a Freemason? And the joke is on us because everybody loves baseball. Yeah, it's America's favorite sport. Yeah, well, what they don't tell you, I'm not sure what level of masonry they tell them this, but at one level or another, what they're not telling you is the baseball diamond is the Masonic logo on the field, right in front of your face, and you don't even know it. Put in perspective, the pitcher mound is the G in Gnostic. No, it's not God. It's not about G is not God in the middle of the. That's what they tell the first 3 degrees. Then they tell them later it means something different. That's how it works. Each degree they go up, they tell them a different little secret they didn't tell them before. Isn't that right? Fourth degree, fifth degree, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 13th, and all up to 33rd. You did bet you were in a Shriner, if you went through the degrees in Blue Lodge, they didn't tell you the same thing that they told you later. Of course, they justify it. They say, well, this is for the adepts, the most powerful ones, the most trusted. Oh, me? Yeah, okay. You little first, second, third degrees. I know more than you. They're billing on your ego, man. And they're going to tear you down with it. That's why they do it. The secrets mean nothing. The alchemy that they teach you is not your strength and power. It comes from a demonic entities. Well, baseball, three outs, nine players, multiple threes. It is a baseball diamond. It is a Masonic logo. The intersection of the square and the compass are the bases. Do the math from there. And Freemasonry, in fact, as they learn later in their degrees somewhere along the way, that Lucifer is their god. And Satan's different. Satan's evil. Lucifer's good. And they renounce Jesus Christ at the 33rd degree level. They don't tell you that now, do they? Oh, they absolutely do. They'll deny it if you go back and say, this crazy guy on the radio said that they'll gloss over it. But if you do the research, you'll find it's very true. The secret's kept from you for your quote-unquote own good or whatever. You've not proven yourself. Yeah, proven yourself. No, you've not been brainwashed enough. That's what it's about. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, family, and I got a lot to talk about today. I got a whole lot, did you know, going on today. I don't pay attention to that. I just have these little quirks, I guess, and somebody told me one day that they perk up or something when I say, did you know? This conspiracy is so vast, it just absolutely mind-boggling. It makes a person that's tied into the world almost literally shut down. And every time I run into somebody last night when I went to my little coffee place for all night long, I stay up a lot. I stay up, I catch naps, cat naps, whatever. I just research constantly, continually. And that's just the way it is. I choose to do that. And there's a couple, young couple, and someone that actually worked at the place that was not working that night, but I didn't recognize them at first because, of course, you look different when you're behind the counter. And then, anyway. And they were sitting there like 20, 30 minutes, and I don't know, just brought up the word Illuminati. Poop, they all perked up. And the one waitress that the waitress that worked behind the counter said she is not working that night. I said, oh, really? I said, yeah. So what do you know about the Illuminati? I said, oh. So about 45 minutes later, an hour later, I didn't know that so many people. There's a lot of people really involved that can't talk. And here's the point. Here's the bottom line. The point I was going to make is her family, as well as family members, whatever, friends, think she's crazy. I said, well, they all think you're crazy till you say the words, and you better be able to back it up. Let me show you the evidence. That puts it back on them. Let me show, be able to show it, though. Don't just use it. Because they have a choice to make now. It's in their lap. Show me. I'll show, you want to see the evidence or no? Do you want to see the evidence? Yes or no? Simple. Answer the question. Yes or no? And just stop. Just shut up for a minute and just watch. If they say, no, I just don't want to see. I don't want to see. They have to acknowledge, subconsciously or outwardly, whatever. But they're, either way it works. That they don't want to see the evidence. I don't want to see the evidence. Or if they say, all right, show me your evidence. Okay. Oh, here we go. Thought you'd never ask. So either way, so you've left. If they say, I don't want to see the evidence, they have to acknowledge, I don't want to know the truth. Then they recognize that subconsciously. That leaves an opening. Somewhere down the road, I don't know, maybe not you, maybe somebody else, but they realize, I don't want to know the truth. Then it starts working on them from then on. That's how it works. See? So, family, I'm going to get moving here. I do get off in these little side trails sometimes. This is my nature. It's what I do. It's my way I do on the broadcast for 5 years. I just broadcast. I talk. I teach. I learn. And usually it's off the top of my head. And I pull scripts out here and there. And it's all mixed together. But I don't have a full script. I go where the Holy Spirit leads me. That's how it works. It has for 5 years. Sometimes I start talking about A and end up talking about D. I even have to change the title of what I was going to talk about. I was told, Spirit, guide me. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and I want to get started. Lord, we come together today in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we want to lift up to you and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. That, Lord, it's open to all, that you wish none to perish, but for all to have everlasting life. But Lord, we need that Holy Spirit to start the conviction. We need the Holy Spirit to point people in the right direction, that, Lord, will lead them to divine appointments, that will lead them to you. Father, we know you know the heart. We can't know the heart like you. And Father, just use us in your ways. Father, we lift up to you our sins to help us keep straight and narrow. That, Lord, you'll provide us conviction or infirmity or something, Lord, that's going to keep us humble, that's going to keep us convicted, Father, that's going to keep us happy, Lord, because we renounce the sin. That, Lord, that we need your help. We can't do it on our own. Lord, we need that Holy Spirit to guide us and to do your work. For thy will be done, not our own. Father, we see the increasing supernatural power that's around us because of the pulling away of the countries. And the falling away is near. Father, we see the thinning of the veil between the supernatural, the second and first heaven. We see that veil thinning every day. Father, we know that the end, but Father, in the meantime, that Lord, we pray upon you, pray to you, to give us that power, give us that strength, the words, forgiveness, but give us that power that, Father, we can deliver your word. And lead others to Jesus. That's why, Father, every day to remind us and for us to pray on that belt of truth. That, Father, you're the only God, the creator of the heaven and earth, and the king of the universe. And our Father who loves us, and our shepherd who leads us. You're our wisdom, counselor, hope, and strength. And you're everything that we need each day. Father, help us remind us of that. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, showing us truth about ourselves. That, Lord, you show us any sin that we may need to confess and right now, so that nothing will hinder us from being filled, overflowing with your Spirit, Father. We thank you for forgiving us and for filling us with your righteous life and example through Jesus Christ. That, Father, we put on the sandals of peace. That we remain humble and not have a contentious spirit. That when we trust and follow you, show us how to help others find that peace. But, Father, give us the courage to speak out when we have to. We take up the shield of faith. We thank you, Lord, for helping us have faith in you. And, Father, we choose to count on everything you have shown us about yourself through the King James Bible, and everything you've promised us in your word. And, Father, give us patience that our faith is renewed. And, Father, sometimes we might fall away. That give us that patience, Lord, that reaffirmation to help build our faith if we should lose. Thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation to guard our thoughts and guard our minds, promising us salvation through today's battles and for all eternity. And Father, to lead us, and when we have to go up against the demonic realm in the near future, to give us that strength and conviction to be able to handle those from the second heaven. Lord, we're going to need it. And Lord, we take in our hand our weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of Almighty God. We thank you for the scriptures you've given us to memorize, to take in as our power, and show us what you want us to cut through the deception and gain the victory in any battle we may face today and in the future. And Lord, we pray against the witchcraft that's being orchestrated in this country, in this world. We pray against the Wicca. Father, we call upon you that your warring angels would be loosed from heaven. And Father, to surround us and protect us, Father. And as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask you to break down, undam all the walls of protection around the wizards, the witches, the warlocks, and the Satanists, and all those like. And to break their power. And Father, we pray that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask the Holy Spirit to loose them from all mind control of Satan and to take them away from him and the fallen angels. And Father, to expose them for who and what they are. We pray for those in our family and those close associates to us that, Father, the ones that need a healing, we pray for them that miracles will be. We pray for family members to come to know the Lord. That, Lord, through divine appointments, one after the other, that finally they'll, Father, if it be their will, that they'll take Jesus as Savior. Father, you know the heart. We pray for our veterans. We pray for our citizens that's been targeted with this spirit of suicide. That, Father, you'll take those thoughts away. Set up divine appointments to thwart these thoughts and ideas, the thoughts and drives for suicide, that, Lord, you'll take it away, take it out of this country. Because, Lord, they're setting up the euthanasia and they're setting up the abortion. And, Lord, we need that help to stop this. So, Father, while we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, when I say in that Matthew 6, 9 to 12, 13, it talks about here, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom, as says in the scriptures, thy kingdom, his kingdom, in heaven, the same thing, is the third heaven as mentioned by Paul. And where John went for his vision. When it says that thy will be done in earth, that's the first heaven. It's a physical earth that you live in right now. Everything you touch is physical, material. Then that would beg the question, if you're a student, if you study, well, where these fallen angels reside? Where are they? Where's Satan at then in all this? Well, the preachers are led people to believe, not all of them, of course, but majority. Because I hear it all the time. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, correct me. I don't have a problem with that. But what I understand and what I'm getting on a regular basis is that people that don't really study but trust the preachers and rabbis and priests that are controlled by the 501c3 and National Council of Communist Churches, you heard me right. That Satan's in hell. The demons are in hell. Well, no. A certain level, torment in hell, yes, for those that rejected Jesus throughout the centuries. But the fallen angels from the second heaven, oh yeah, a second heaven exists. If there's the first of heaven, which talks about, and there's the third of heaven, which talks about, and implications are, not specifically mentioned, but all the implications are, there's a second heaven. And what's left out? The known universe. Pluto, Uranus, Venus, Mars, the entire physical universe that no human flesh will survive in, but supernatural does. On the planets, there's your so-called aliens. Not aliens at all. They're demons. They are high-level demons from the second heaven. The fallen angels. So you think, well, wait a minute now. Satan goes to and fro. What does that mean? Well, by human sacrifice, the Mayans know it very well. Aztec, they know it very well. They all know it very well. Voodoo. And your so-called world leaders at the highest level of government and royalty, murder, rape children. Absolutely. In this Wicca sacrifice on these holidays that you don't know about. That's what human trafficking is all about. Certain days of the year, many of them actually, but they're earmarked by holidays. That's what holidays are for. We get rewarded for them. We get days off, we get presents, we get chocolate bunnies, we get to hunt Easter eggs, what else we get to do? Presents, we talked about, we get to kiss under mistletoe, a Yule log, and an old fat man in a red suit that doesn't exist, that causes you to lie to your children. Mommy, Daddy, is there a Santa Claus? Well, sure there is. Is there really? Is there a Santa Claus? Look up the definition of anagram, and then look up the word Santa. Then you will look up the word the New Age movement, Sanat, S-A-N-A-T, Kumara, and tell me what you get. Family, we've been fooled. Jesus died on the cross, rose again, 7 days a week, every waking moment is in worship of him. Is that going overboard? No, it's not at all. Problem is, we've been taught that it would be. But who's the prince of this world? Satan is. I do the math on that. He fulfills all our needs. We're not taught that. We're taught one day a week. That's why I want to hit on this Sabbath thing. I'm going to cover that. I'll announce it. I'm going to destroy that thought eventually. I've got a study on it. And I can prove to you the Sabbath isn't on a Saturday, isn't on a Sunday, but it's any day you choose. Certainly you have a Sabbath. It wasn't abolished. But it's not some Saturday or some Sunday you have to. That's wrong. The churches want you all to worship on a day, Saturday, because that's Saturnalia, worship of Satan. And on Sunday, the Roman Catholic Church, which is pagan background, wants you to worship on Sunday because it's the sun god, Satan. Everybody to worship at the same time. Now, if you choose to do your Sabbath with some other folks, and don't matter what religion, what church you're in, you can do that. You see? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. You didn't have Jesus Christ before he was born. So they had the requirement. You must give 10%. It's required. You must give attend church on this day of the week. Doesn't matter whether it's Saturday, Sunday. Everybody gets caught up in whatever day it was. Because that was the criteria till Jesus came and fulfilled it. Then after he fulfilled it, don't mean you eliminate it. It just means that you're not to be judged by any day you choose. That's bad news for them, because they want your money. Bad news for them for certain days like Easter, Sunday morning, or your Halloween at your church. Yeah, y'all can worship Satan together. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm unloading a whole lot of stuff today. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I am. We've been lied to. Family, Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. He controls seven areas of your lives. When Jesus died on the cross, he took back that. He came to us. Now you've got to go to him. By believing. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. To repent, turn from your sins. Luke 13:3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's not me. You get mad at me if you want to, but that's coming from Jesus, Holy Spirit, in Luke 13:3. Confess your sins to Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. It don't say rabbi. It don't say priest. It don't say preacher. It don't say mama. It says Jesus. It's Christ Jesus. There's no mediator. Priest. Rabbi. Confess Jesus before men. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. There you go. In a nutshell. So when it says in the earth, that's the first heaven. The universe, the known universe, is the second heaven. That's where the fallen angels reside. They're not in hell yet. They're going to end up in hell with 100% chance if they go in there, because that's what hell was created for. Was for them. Only problem is that those that follow them are going to go with them. You really don't want to do that. And the third heaven, separated by water, because remember he divided the waters to make the universe? Uh-huh. Put life on earth, made it different from all the others. In the entire universe, the earth. If people were entropy. Look up the word entropy. That one word destroys evolution immediately. The concept of thermodynamics and entropy. Everything rots, rusts, dies, consumed, or just dies, turns to dust. So how in the world does everything go forward? By itself. You ever think about that? How does that do that? Unless there's a God there supporting it all in his power. He created this earth, universe, even heaven. He can disassemble it anytime he wants to. But because of love, he doesn't. Why didn't he just kill off every human being? Bar none. Just start all over. Just take the slate, green tablet, and just wipe it clean, and just start all over again. And take away free will so everybody is righteous. It's not the way he works. He wants to have you have free will so you can freely choose to love him or reject him. That's called real love. It's not forced. This is the game going on. I don't want to trivialize it by saying game, but this is what's happening. way beyond Ebola or Fukushima or what else is there? I don't know, a financial reset, falling in the stock market or whatever. I don't know, it's coming, but whatever they throw at you, whatever, you know, it's just going to be what it's going to be. You all that's listening to this broadcast, another broadcast, whatever, that, you know, the minority of human beings is listening to the conspiracy, the talk shows. Everybody else is, I don't want to hear that conspiracy theory stuff. But the government is so corrupt. What? You know, common sense. The government's corrupt, right? He says yes. Okay. All right, then, will you tell me, how's it corrupt from your idea? Well, they're corrupt because they'll tell you financial stuff. Uh-huh. Who do you think coordinates that? Just happened to. And they'll list off, and they'll talk about the conspiracy. But the minute you mention conspiracy, they shut down. You ever notice that? They tell you it's all corrupt and bad and this, that, and the other, and the churches are... And then you tell them it's what it is, and it's conspiracy. Oh, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You just described it. What do we do about that? You've just named it. You've just listed it. Now I'm going to give you the details. That's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. You can't win for losing. You ever notice that? Amazing. You just kind of sit back and SMH, shake my head. Is that what they call it? SMH? All these abbreviations. I don't know what. But it's just amazing. And then you meet someone along the way that knows about the Illuminati. Oh, you're all both just talkative, man. You're like chitter-chatter. Everybody around you looking, oh, these two are crazy. Go call the cops. They're nuts. And the self-hugging suits. You know what that is, right? Straight jacket. These two are crazy people. That's crazy. Then they'll go back to talking about, oh, you know, the Social Security and all this and the taxes and Ebola. And I think they're lying on TV. Well, you're all talking about what we're talking about. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Okay. It just goes on and on. So, how do they control you, family? Y'all know how they control you? Well, first they build the core belief. And you want that started? For some of you, between 5 and 7 years old. Now you get it? Education. Education. From a day, and you know, and I don't want to reiterate this 10 times over, but I'll tell you, those have been my regular listeners, you've heard me talk about this before. Charles Francis Potter, a humanist, is quoted as saying, Every school in America, every public school in America is a school of humanism. Everyone. And you say, well, that's just one guy. Really? I'll say to you, look up Horace Mann, 1800s. And then look up John Dewey. And associate him with the Dewey Decimal System or whatever. I said, no. It don't matter if he did do the Dewey Decimal System. It don't matter. What matters is, he was the father of American public education. He's the father of it. Huh? He had planned the extraterrestrial hoax in the early 1900s. You heard me correct. Absolutely. You heard me right. John Dewey is a massive, massive humanist. If there ever was such a thing. Charles Francis Potter said education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. And every American public school is a school of humanism. And to show you continuity, 1989, that's 50-some years later, Georgia Ann Geyer, syndicated columnist under Billy Bob Clinton, the cigar man. Well, Luciferian, too. It's like Carter, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Buchanan, ever, John Brady, every darn one of them. All of them. Georgia Ann Geyer, syndicated columnist under Clinton back in the day, 1990s, said, I quote, percentages of Marxist faculty numbers can range from an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities. So the For the naysayers, they say, well, that's some. I got something else for you. Herbert London, educator, humanist, New York University, 1987, 2 years earlier, said, and I quote, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment, its being Marxist and socialism. And almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar. That resident, note the word resident, Marxist scholar oversees the curriculum of every college and university from Duke University, Wake Forest, to Harvard University, to New York University, to Stanford, MIT, John Hopkins. I can keep on going. Over 200, 300, 1,000, every single one. To recruit the best of the best. That's why they give them full rides in college. To find the best of the best in the 7 different areas that they can use and give them a Rhodes Scholarship, and they take this horrific, awful, unbelieving, disgusting oath that will just turn your hair white before they become a Rhodes Scholar. They don't tell you about that. The same one similar to Knights of Malta and Knights of Columbus. They don't tell you about that because they're too embarrassed. And they can't. They use the colleges to recruit for sex, for expertise, to help them with a new world order. The best of the best, but not for good reasons. That's why they give full rides. They want to get them under a blood oath. So education is how they do it. Their little pagans, the Illuminati's little pagans, go through two types of education. College, skull and bones, and all that sort of thing. But also, they go through their own after the hours of their own Illuminati education, of formitting and carrying on the agenda of the Illuminati once they become assigned to their duties. They give them rewards, degrees, summa cum laude, or whatever you want to call it. And they say, now, you want to come work with us? You got to sign this paper and take this little oath. Give us a little blood. Sign your name over to this guy named Lucifer. They won't tell you this. So education is the way they control us. Now, heading to my point. What's another way they control us? The entire country at the same time. It's called religion. Religion was infiltrated in 1887. I can tell you exactly how, when, where, and all that. And the date was 1887. The preparation for the 1887 infiltration was 1883. Getting all together. Councils, committees. And more specifically, the date of September 11th, 1893, was the world's first parliament of religions held in Chicago, Illinois. According to records, men of progress from all over the globe gathered together in what would become known as the first outward steps to unite the world's religions. And one specific question, and during that time went unanswered, how could the representative of one religion affirm the beliefs of another without denying his own? If a Christian affirmed Judaism, that was awkward, wasn't it? Judaism, was he not denying Jesus Christ? And if a Muslim affirmed the beliefs of a Jew, was he not turning against his entire culture? So, Rosenbusch, sounds like something you'd eat at a German restaurant. Rosenbusch, look at these long names. As professor at Rochester Theological Seminary, he taught his socialistic religions and philosophy to future clergymen. So in 1893, you know what that boy did? He proclaimed that, quote, the only power that can make socialism succeed is religion. Shall I repeat that? Let me repeat that. The only power that can make socialism succeed is religion. It cannot work in an irreligious country, unquote. So he declared in 1893 that socialism is coming. He proclaimed it would come creatively in the social process without recourse to illegality or violence, unquote. Although they still have false flags, like sinking of the Maine, Pearl Harbor, bombing Haiphong, Sandy Hook, 9-1-1, a load of them. Alamo, probably goes all the way back. False flag don't mean it didn't happen. It just means it was already set up to use to change a country, to change a movement and bring another one in. And did you know, 1887, Josiah Strong, about 4 years before that Parliament meeting of religions, 1887, at the General Christian Conference, 1887, to pull the churches into an evangelical alliance for the United States to fuel the fires of social gospel. So the primary purpose was to collect all the churches to what's quoted as Christian public opinion could make itself felt by the government. Later, what this alliance did in Christian socialism was absorbed by the Federal Council of Churches. And the socialist movement to infiltrate and control the Christian churches began full steam ahead, using religion, liberalism, to bring in the socialism. You think Khrushchev knew something we didn't when he banged his shoe on the desk, remember? In that UN meeting or something? How about that? At the same time, in 1897, 4 years after this parliament set up, that's when the Vatican created, through Theodore Herzl, the Zionist movement. And did you know that 1,500 years later, the Vatican also, around 6th century, do the math on that, I can't right now. The 6th century, did you know the Vatican created Islam as a religion to bring in the Muslims, make the Muslims, the Arabs that rejected Roman Catholicism that was created in 325 AD, that 300 years later the Vatican of that generation created Islam as a religion using Arab Roman Catholics? Did you know that? That's a fact too. And then they raised Muhammad the Prophet in the 10th century. He was 6 years old. He lost his mother. She died mysteriously. They raised him from 6 years old to 20 years old. The Vatican did. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. Married him off to a rich, wealthy Arab lady named Khwajana, who was 40 years old. And was raised in a nunnery. Where they make nuns. I know it's a convent. That's what really happened. Did you know that Muhammad is in the same bloodline as the Merovingians through King Edward IV? Y'all getting the idea how this thing all comes together? It's amazing. It's disgusting. But this is how it works. Federal Council of Churches, funded by the Rockefellers, early 1900s. By 1936, the Federal Council of Churches was deemed as one of the most subversive communistic organizations in America by Naval Intelligence. 1936. Uh-oh. Oh, big problem. So what happened was, did you get that? They just changed their name. That's all they did. And they call it the National Council of Churches. Family, we've been hooked out. We've been fooled. And so, when they did that, around 1940s or so, about 10 years later, they funded, around early 1900s actually, before that, they funded Billy Sunday to control religion. Because he was a real evangelical. And he was making things happen. They said, we're going to harness this. And so they bought him off. Because he was living out of his car. He was evangelizing like crazy. He was teaching the truth. That's what they did. And guess who else they funded? Billy Graham in 1949, 1950. Made him a Jesuit. Freemason. He taught the truth for about 40 years to be hooked into the pre-baby boomer generation to get the confidence. And then in the 1990s, he broke loose and started teaching about New Age movement and aliens and all that. Oh, yeah. 1993, 1997, he confirms in several interviews on TV that there's aliens. We're going to evangelize aliens from other planets. That's ridiculous. Billy Graham says that now because it's all New Age, just like Osteen's and all the rest of them. Religion is what's going to bring in socialism since 1893. 1887, to use religion. So now you can have another appreciation for this quote. 1944, Norman Mattoon Thomas said, and I quote, Norman Mattoon Thomas, by the way, died in 1968, born 1884, and he was a leading American socialist, communist, Marxist, whatever, pacifist, and six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America. And so in 1944, remember 1945 is when it started the takedown of America? Yeah. 1944, he said in a speech, I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." So he went on to say, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for a socialist party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." Now, Democrats, now you're probably going to think, oh gosh, Gamble's one of those Republicans. And I'm going to tell you, nope, not at all. Because Republicans, I got something for you. See, the Council of Foreign Relations plans the war is to kill off our soldiers and Marines and to help foment the wars with the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the other round table, Club of Rome, Bilderberg Group, the United Nations, and all these to plan the wars to kill off our soldiers, set up their New World Order since 1776. So each decade, each period of time, they come up with another organization or council. Illuminati's always been behind it. You look up the dates, you'll see it all works out. Well, current to date, the Council of Foreign Relations, as identified by the Chicago Tribune, in an article came out in the 1950s, I'm not going to go in detail about this because I have before, but accuses the Council of Foreign Relations, which controls our government, as having dried blood on their hands of World War II and Korean War, unquote, to a certain extent. I got a real problem with that because the Korean vets, I couldn't tell them this. They'd be heartbroken. to know the country controlled by the Jesuits and the Freemasons and the Knights of Malta and the secret societies, caused Korean War to happen, made sure that China remained communist, according to General MacArthur in his diary. And is the cause of World War II. So you Republicans out there, you'll find your ilk at the high level, just like the Democrats at the highest level bringing socialism to you. Well, the Republicans bring the war to you. You'll find under the Council of Foreign Relations, not a well-known group, but a little group of Republican war hawks that are religiously inclined. You got Palin and Missler, and you got, you got LaHaye and Pat Robertson and a whole slew of them in the Council of National Policy. A secretive, right-wing Republican war hawk group under the Illuminati by the Council of Foreign Relations. Named the Council of Foreign Relations. Called the Council of National Policy. Look it up right now. And look up the who's behind it all. They're all your right-wing so-called religious types that not are all. They're all Luciferians. Work for the New World Order under the guise of being religious. Religion will be used to bring socialism. And those who claim to be on our side that could be next door to you, including generals like Boykin, Rick Joyner, the whole lot of them, Knights of Malta, etc., work for them, and they are really good actors. Now, I'm leading up to something. I'm giving you a background. I'm going to show you how they control the churches, but before I get there, I want you to see how this is set up. It's just mind-boggling. So, in the year 1901, about the same time period that they murdered McKinley, because he was cracking down on them, just like JFK would do later. Here's what happened. In 1893, for example, and I'm moving up to show you how they've been set up. I'm not going to, the 501c3, I'm heading that way. This Rosenbauschew, whatever his name is, Professor Rochester Theological Seminary, taught his socialistic religious philosophy to future clergymen. This is not new. FEMA working on our clergy and clergy response force is nothing old. It's nothing new. Nothing new. It's old. And the 501c3 control of churches is nothing new at all. It's old. They just changed the methods. In 1893, this Rosenbauch, he proclaimed that, quote, the only power that can make socialism succeed is religion. It cannot work in an irreligious country. All right. Now, that being said again, Reverend Huntington, he's another Marxist. A reverend is a Marxist. He's in New York setting up the Christian Socialist Movement, an offshoot of London's Fabian Socialist Society. Did you know that this is one of the reasons why George Washington never took any high position in Freemasonry? Freemasons claim, well, George Washington was a Freemason. But they don't tell you him and John Adams backed away from them. They don't tell you that. And it's documented in biographies about George Washington. He did not trust the Fabian Society that came over here to willfully kill, murder, and destroy using our Freemasons and corrupted them by design. The Fabian Society, you can trace all the way up till today. Radical eugenist George Bernard Shaw. You ever heard of him? Yeah, I bet you have. Sidney and Beatrice Webb. Several other notable Marxists. Hate to blow your cover on that one. Well, I know I can hear somebody out there saying, like Pat Robertson would say, I hear somebody out there saying that I did a report on George Bernard Shaw. I can't believe he's a Marxist. And I'm going to say, yeah, he was. These aren't men of God I'm talking about. These are Marxist family. They're not disciples of Jesus Christ on the 700 Club. They've taken a blood oath against Jesus Christ. They've taken a blood oath against my Savior. And the same thing for TBN. All of them. Freemasons and Eastern Stars. Pray for them that they'll come out of there. But in the meantime, they're not on your side. It's been reported that the Webbs, back in those days, traveled to America in 1898. And that was to review the success of Fabian infiltration of religious institutions. Do you hear what I said? That's massive. In 1901, did you know that there was a collection of socialists and Fabians that took leadership positions in then the newly created National Federation of Churches? And the Dr. Harry Ward was among those. And what he did, he secured very powerful roles in church councils and Methodist Church, the Interfaith Conference and Federation proposed a Federal Council of Churches in 1905. Federal Council of Churches, 1905, worked till 1936 as a subversive communistic organization funded by the Rockefellers. And that's who took control of Billy Sunday. You got it now? And then the American Institute of Marxist Studies published a book called Marxism and Christianity by Herbert Aptheker's. Oh, they just got this all working on the 1908, Ward and Rosenbusch together formed the Federal Council of Churches. And they believed that, quote, socialism must start in the churches. That's evil. I mean, that's how Satan worked all through our history. Right under our noses. And you know, the claims were by some that this creed that they had to transform the Methodist Church and Christianity into an instrument to achieve socialism. The creed had been approved by Nikolai Lenin, and a study of the creed demonstrated the compatibility with Marxism and communism. And you know that this Ward guy, 1924 to 1929 in the Clapper Girl period, and everybody's all happy and waiting before they crashed the market as planned in 1910. You heard me right. Harry Ward went to Moscow. He met with Stalin to discuss the use of American churches to further the international cause of communism. And you know that 1925, this Ward also gave a series of lectures to clergymen in China. It's all been set up right under our noses the whole time. I touched a little bit upon this as I go along in my broadcast to show you how they've been working. And you know, between 1908 and 1932, just right before a military takeover of the U.S. government was planned, it was busted by General Butler, Dirk Steen McCormick Commission investigation, 1933-34. I've played that before, too. The Federal Council grew up and prospered, maintained ties with Marxists and Fabian Socialists. There's your churches. Did not Jesus say, come out of the churches? Now you know why. Now you know why. Exactly why. You know, the Office of Naval Intelligence reported that the Council gave, quote, aid and comfort to the communist movement in 1935, said the Council was extremely active against national defense. And the same year, after finishing 18-month training course in Moscow, two union leaders, Victor and Walter Reuther, became the Council's experts on labor relations. And the Reuthers, R-E-U-T-H-E-R-S, sent a letter to friends in America instructing them to carry on the fight for Soviet America. And did you know that in 1942, at the beginning of World War II, prior to the formation of the United Nations under Alger Hess. The council revealed the coming agenda for a centrally controlled world government through issuance of a public proclamation on internationalism, military matters, and economic affairs, calling for a world government. And I know from other investigation and research that FDR was hot on the trail to set up a new world order in America in 1943 to 45, working with his higher level cousins, Churchill, Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Queen Elizabeth. Ah, you heard me exactly right. But you won't find that in the history books. ...1948 was the World Council of Churches, the parent organization of the National Council of Churches, operating inside the United States of America. Now, how do they keep us controlled? Now I got a whole load of more of this history. I got tons of it. Tons of it. I could carry this on for the next hour. Oh, I do have an hour, don't I? Well, so now I've given you a background, and some of you, if you've listened, hadn't left already, because I've got the evidence. You see how it goes back to 1890s. And that's a fact. Provable. Those that really listened of the implications I've just talked about, you can pick your jaw up off the floor now and let's get to work. Because enough of all this stuff. Because remember one thing, they lose. No matter what they've done, no matter what they do, and no matter what they're going to do, they will lose. They lost on the cross of Calvary. It is impossible, impossible to overpower the creator of this universe. It's not out in their educated minds can even begin to think that they can. It boggles my mind. That don't boggle theirs. Okay. Some people say, Tom, how you do it? How do you? Because I know my Savior, that's why. Oh, I'll tell you, it sometimes, you know, makes me wonder about if what I'm doing is really helping or if I'm just blowing in the wind. But God keeps me going. One for Him, I don't know. I probably just watch sports. I don't know. Go drink wine. Walk around the park, feed the pigeons. I don't know. But family, I'm not going to do that because I got a mission. You know the false flags? Remember the Maine as a horrible false flag, Randolph Hearst, J.P. Morgan. Are these people in jail ever? No, they never have been. They're protected. Manchurian Incident, 1929, the secrets of the Reichstag fire, Adolf Hitler, the fake invasion of Gliwice, 1939, the myth of Pearl Harbor, what a lie. Let me tell you. I get a little feisty sometimes, I guess. Israeli terrorist cell uncovered in Egypt. Operation Northwoods. The Phantoms of the Gulf of Tonkin. All these are false flags and setups. September 11th, 2001, Sandy Hook. I just go, you can go on and on. Ebola, all this stuff. To put fear in everybody's heart. Well, how they control you now, to date. They got what's called the 501c3. Now, some of y'all don't know this. You think, well, what's tax-exempt status got to do with the price of tea in China? Well, you know, China is buying the gold now. You know that? They own 30% of America anyway, and they're buying the gold out. And India's buying the silver. They got something planned here. The stock market was crashing a little while ago. But no matter what they do, they don't win. FEMA took up where Nixon left off, February 12, 1972, dividing the United States in 10 regions, 5 states each. Executive Order 11647, Executive Order 11731, and Executive Order 11495. When he was planning a military takeover of the U.S. government with General Cushman of the Marine Corps. What's wrong with these generals? I don't understand them. They must get electrical shock therapy, or maybe they give them pills or something, or lobotomy. What happens to them when they become general? They take a blood oath, they get indwelled with a demon or something? Oh. Something happens to their minds. I don't know what happens to them, but they become traitors, socialists, and these are veterans, man. What's wrong with them? Because he's working with Nixon to set up a military takeover of the U.S. government, just like FDR was in 1943. Reagan was too. I got statements. I got quotes, all kinds of nonsense. To me, it's nonsense. It's true, but them planning is nonsense. FEMA was created to take up where Nixon left off, the 10 regions, 5 states each, hit it under FEMA transition, now today, 2009, or FEMA regions that Nixon set up to balkanize the United States. To set up one governor, one UN regional administrator for each of the regions with 5 states each, 10 of them. Divide the United States into 4 regions, taken over by China, Mexico, Canada, and United Nations. We're a colony today. You understand what's going on? That's their plans. It's been planned that way for a long time. But why haven't they brought it together? Because you know who's in control? God is. When are they going to learn? But anyway, I found out, a little research, for example, that this particular pastor of a certain church in Bellefontaine, Ohio, came forward, according to reports, and an eyewitness of a 2006 meeting he attended, hosted by FEMA. You know FEMA, right? Y'all heard of FEMA? Shake your head up and down. Yeah, we heard about FEMA. What's significant about FEMA? Well, some of you may not know how powerful they are. They're probably the new government when they have some kind of a national disaster. They took over where Nixon left off. And just to give you an idea, right quick-like, and regular listeners...
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
1980s.
Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan, in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
Respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
Now, you see, you have along the way, even President Eisenhower, you have along the way certain presidents, certain entertainers, certain folks that's involved in the Illuminati, knows about them, will drop little hints along the way that people don't connect the dots. Now, look up Operation Northwoods, and you'll have the operation. Now, in this minister that attended this meeting in 2006, was eyewitness to it, according to reports, it matches. Because in 2006, hosted by FEMA, now you know who FEMA is, other government civil organizations, it was intended to recruit and receive oaths from pastors across the country, and they would preach sermons that would coerce parishioners to obey all government orders without delay, actively coerce them to give up guns and property, and if resistant during national emergencies, such as flu epidemics. And that was the announced purpose of the meeting at the time. So that would have worked out, because 2009 was a fake flu. Deaths of thousands was faked. Did people die in the flu? Yeah. But not thousands and thousands that justified the vaccinations that they weren't able to do. That's 3 years before this 2009 fiasco that didn't happen. And this was in exchange for a prioritized receipt of scarce food and vaccines for their families. The vaccines are what starts a pandemic. That's why they can control it. He warned that this program appears to spread to every county in the country. And based upon his observation, pastors everywhere are taking the oath to impose state dictates on their flocks. Now, that being said, I'd like to find out how it really works in real life. How far would they really go with this? Just reports, but how far would they go? Well, let's just see what John MacArthur has to say about it and his so-called cohort.
Already tell.
Here yeah, absolutely.
Top of it.
All of them.
I've got a surprise for you today.
Okay.
Do you remember when you talked about the someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing. You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night listening to a Q&A from a few years ago where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 6666. Always six is never seven. So the number of man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And those number, the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead, and you go through a scanner, and, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life. Well, especially when the 144,000 don't start their ministry till the second half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That makes it a little tough.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Dr. DeYoung.
Well, we're looking at the same book. You know, that's what's so interesting, and that's what we were saying. I mean, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin. You've got to be. I've never thought that what he said there was very interesting. The fact is, if nobody gets saved in the last 3.5 years because they have received that mark, there's that unbelievable number of Jews that come to know Christ and that are living, that actually go into the millennial kingdom in natural bodies. That's good that Brother John is looking at the same book that I am, and we came up with the same answers.
Well, it is, and that was very interesting because you remember that was really, really controversial. I'm not so sure you've ever made a statement on our program before that was as controversial as that one. And I got so many emails on it, and then I was walking the dog the other night listening to this Q&A, and I thought, oh, I've got to play this on the air. This will be a great surprise for Dr. DeYoung. So there
you
go.
It is a pleasant surprise, and the dear brothers and sisters who disagreed, you know, I don't quite know where they were coming from. I don't need to know that. But just now, with that confirmation from another Bible teacher, and he's a great Bible teacher. I'm just a beginner, but it's great to see that, and the confirmation of both of us believing that same thing. I wonder how many more emails you're going to get now.
Oh well.
You got two guys on your side that are pretty good, right?
I think so too.
Yeah. Well, we both love you and love what you're doing and have the opportunity to interact on your program.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Thank you. Oh, well.
Family, every time I hear that, it just boggles my mind completely. I just sit here and go, blah, blah, blah. How'd you like that? I mean, that should astound you. All three of them are lying. Can you imagine how many people are going to take that mark, who take that tattoo, the mark of the beast that lives? Can you imagine? And they do it so nonchalantly. Revelation 13:16-17, and he, false prophet, causes all, both great and small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man shall buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Well, I got more for you. In Revelation 14:9-12, family, this is serious. You know how serious this is? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image. Whoever receives the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Unquote. Now what about that what book are they using? It's not the Bible. I just read it out of the Bible in Revelation 14, 9 to 12. What's the deal here, Freemasons? You think you're being lied to? You think it's somebody in high level, nonchalantly, like they're drinking a cup of tea, or telling you to take the mark to damn your soul forever? Family, something's wrong with this. Come on now. You know, this is unbelievable. Let's go a step further. Let me show you something. It's not just that. I traced the technology back to 1973. Oh, yeah. It's not just a religious implication. Let me give you something else. Something you can sink your teeth into. Those of you that's not, quote unquote, religious. Did you know in 1973 that Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwetzbell of Harvard University, imagine that, they did a study, and a copy of this study, I got a copy of it actually, a 92-page monograph. It was titled Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. So they took prisoners, felons, of course, that were homosexual as a study group, and they did the following with a study group in 1973, funded by the Health Education Welfare Department. The thesis of this study was that social or cultural or political rehabilitation would begin inside the nervous system of the citizen. So what they did was, in 1973, was to implant a miniaturized radio transmitter in the brain or the body, would monitor and transmit the conversations, locations, even the sexual response of the subject 24 hours a day. And you know that this report does explain that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with a transponder, will be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. Radio-controlled electrical shock device inside the body. And that device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. So, why would they do that? So to cure them of homosexuality, to see if it worked. I mean, for a dog, they just rang a bell. Not for a human. They put a taser inside you and gave you a shock if you had a sexual response. Well, that wasn't kind, but they volunteered for it. So who are these offenders they're talking about? Well, you read the paper, it goes on. Because Professor Ralph K. Schwetzbell, sounds like another German dish of a German restaurant, don't it? Schwetzbell? Of Harvard University, was dwelling on homosexuals as a study case. He talks about offenders' financial matters, disputes over financial obligations, and socially troublesome persons. In comes FEMA. Connect the dots. And in his paper, it predicts micro-miniaturization. Oh, they're a nanobot technology, family. They're nanobots. They can trace your DNA signature from space. Did you know that? And they're still missing 500,000 children a year. How's that work? Anyway, so it would actually permit near permanent intracranial stimulation. So the new program relates to civil rather than criminal. So they're assured that the cruel, unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment wouldn't be any problem. You want to bet? And a National Security Agency computer specialist proposed attaching miniaturized electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans. Well, that wasn't nice. That was back in the 1970s. And Robert Schwetzbell, brother or twin brother of Ralph, another wacko, he noted that the government spent much of the budget on prisons and police and judges and social control hardware and all that. He proposed to them to shift a small portion of defense budget away from the development of weaponry to devices for measuring and reinforcing desirable behaviors of large groups. Ingraham Delgado put these devices in bulls, controlled the darn bulls while they were attacking, made them stop immediately. Delgado, physical control of the mind. How about that? I guess so-called John MacArthur and these speakers didn't know about this, huh? Well, then again, I guess they don't know about the Bible either. That's unfortunate. How many people? Do you know that electrical shock impulses injected in the brain induces or inhibits or modifies movement, desire, rage, aggression, fear, pain, and pleasure? That's a fact. That was 30-some years ago. NSA. Now, watch this. Now you tell me why they got tattoos on our sports stars, tattoos on Miss Kansas, and tattoos that's really pushed. Now you're going to find out why. It's normal. Check this out. Regina Dugan, former director of DARPA and now current executive of Google. Uh-oh. Now look at the implications of this.
Well, we're thinking of a whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them. But you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company, and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right? Because
sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options. And that's something that you
Superman.
Wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill... has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When
really
you
small.
Swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what I do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true.
Okay, so wait.
So it's really true. So what this means is that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away. But it
but
sounds
is,
like...
Is it, this is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill is actually made by a company called Proteus. And they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart
nothing
beat change? Does your
we can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical the medical application.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because let's face it.
Here,
we like
just,
you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take that pill right now.
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one?
It's optional. So we actually have demoed this working and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
How about that? Veterans, how many pills you take a day, 20 today for post-traumatic stress? How many suicides are there today of our veterans? 26 suicides per day. Any questions on why the suicides are happening now? Go ahead and call it a conspiracy theorist. I've just proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt by their own words. Family, that totally disgusts me. John MacArthur, a liar, just like all of them, that are can lie up close in front of congregations, can lie on the radio. They can lie like it's nothing. I've proven that point. Without one hint of a conviction, they lie. Now you know what wolves in sheep's clothing can do? Why you don't fall in love with a preacher or rabbi or whoever, but you do with Jesus Christ, supernaturally? Because that's where it's going to come from. I'm not done. Not done at all. I still got tomorrow. But I'm not done for today either. So, what are they doing? How are they doing this? How are the churches being guided to mess with your lives? Through the 501c3. If your church has a tax exemption granted by the International Revenue Service, then you must examine it. But they won't let you because they keep it hidden. Your megachurches, every one of them, have given their organization to Lucifer. With the rock and roll music, the drums, the big screens, and they use the NIV Bible as a reference point. That can be destroyed as well. The King James is the only one. They cannot prove otherwise. Not one from Billy Graham down to the Pope or whoever cannot prove otherwise. It won't happen. The King James, the only one, is the true word of God. The church, they say, you can get a Form 99, but they choose the 501c3. And the 501c3 is to go to the National Council of Churches and their little meetings. So the church must have a distinct legal existence, according to IRS publication 557. And so that legal existence would date from incorporation, page 3 of it. Therefore, a church must be incorporated or it cannot be called a church. Well, I got news for those buckaroos. God says different. He says we're two or more gathered. There's your church. Ain't got nothing to do with a IRS publication 557. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. Where two or more gathered, that's your church. The church must admit that it exists by privilege granted by the IRS rather than by right. As granted by God is by right through the Holy Scriptures, non-taxable, by the way. And the Holy Scriptures is recognized and guaranteed autonomy by the U.S. Constitution. Bill of Rights, by the way. First Amendment. The church must recognize another as head, the state opposed to the true head, which is God. The church must have recognized creed and form of worship. The IRS must approve and recognize the creed, belief, and form and manner of worship. And it goes through a list of what the church must do this or must do that and so forth. But then when you get further down in this program, The church must admit or submit to the IRS by paying a user fee or tribute. For tax-exempt status, it's contrary to Scripture, the U.S. Constitution, and all the state constitutions. The church must be engaged in activities that further exclusively public purposes rather than private interests. So the true church of Christ exists for the personal and private interest of Christ, his elect, and not the state. The church must answer to the IRS to its daily activities. The IRS dictates its control over all financial activities of the church, including sources of income, donors of $100 or more, and expenditures. The church may not use cash or be suspected of money laundering. All books and records must be made available to the IRS. And the church must serve as IRS in the capacity of informer by reporting a history of who serves in the various jobs, pastors, associates, counselors, directors, etc. The church must inform the IRS who it is that receives charitable help from the church. It talks about more about the income of money. The pastor of the church must not preach against U.S. tax exempt system or say anything against the practices and tactics of the IRS. The pastor of the church must answer to the government, IRS, and give unlimited submission to the civil magistrates pertaining to all laws, federal, state, local, including public policy. Y'all better sit down. The pastor of the church must advocate, promote, and actively encourage race mixing, interracial marriage, which is in violation of the kind after kind standard established by God to creation if the church has an educational ministry. And watch this. Let me show you this one. Did you know that America was established to make a diverse culture beginning in the year 1600? Actually, 1492. That's what America was all about in the first place. I can give you evidence right now. Brock Chisholm, 1948 to 1953, he was director of the World Health Organization of the United Nations. He talks about in his plan, and just actually reiterating what the Illuminati's plan is, you'll find this quote in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1955, first edition, that after the head of the Illuminati, King Despot of the Universe, is crowned, that's the Antichrist, by the way, and after the nations have been merged into an international state, directors intend to crown the head of the Illuminati, King Despot of the Universe, they call him, that's the Antichrist, and then, quote, the agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate, that means kill, eradicate racial characteristics, destroy racial characteristics and kill the people later, by mixing, eradicate racial characteristics by mixing black, red, yellow, and white races together. And quote, this experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. Now, the main purpose of doing that was to create their own culture, where God separated us to still work together, but not mingle together. Since when? Nimrod. Their idea is to bring everybody together so you'll have no more conflict, but under a Luciferian agenda with this mark of the beast I've just finished telling you about. They did, actually. I just played it for you. That's what this is all about. So now you go back to the information I received about the 501c3. The pastor of the church must advocate and promote, actively encourage race mixing, interracial marriage. I don't have any problem with it personally. It's not my business. I don't care. I'm not a KKK or a Christian identity wacko, or I'm not a black Muslim. I'm not a Chinese whatever, or Hispanic. I'm not even white, whatever. I'm a white boy, Scotch, Irish, Cherokee, you know, that loves America, but I love Jesus Christ more, you understand, and to tell the truth, to point it out. I don't belong to no organization. You'll find me on no petition. I don't get involved in anything on this earth except Jesus Christ. I'm done. That's it. You see, I'm preparing myself for the coming kingdom, but I want to tell the truth of what's going on, and I know what it is. It's what they're trying to do to people. Now, they're going to eradicate, to exterminate, all the races that are pure. White, black, yellow, red. And then keep theirs protected throughout this tribulation, they think, to emerge into a transhumanized system. Did you know? Somebody sent me a report recently in Sweden. In Sweden, by golly. In Sweden, yeah, a womb transplant baby opens up possibilities. Did you know that the world's first baby born from a transplanted womb is soon to have company? Two more women who became pregnant after having womb transplants are due to deliver the next few weeks. That'd be starting a new wave of babies born this way, says Swedish doctors who pioneered the technique. Quote, it means a lot to me that we're able to help patients who have tried for so long to have families. Dr. Mats Brunnestrom, a professor of gynecology, obstetrics, whatever, at the University of Gothenburg, who led the project that brought the last month's pioneering birth. They call it treatment for women with infertility problems. So there's a problem here. So they're trying to depopulate by vaccines, by war, by death, disease, whatever. And here they're trying to, well, we want to have fertile women. They're trying to make them infertile by the HPV vaccination. And yet here they're trying, no, let me tell you what it's about. Womb transplants. Family, they're going to try to put one to a man. They're going to try to control who's born, who's not, and the type of DNA is all planned out. You say, well, Tom, that's your speculation. And I'm going to say, wrong again. Because the next plan after they do this mixing of races, all racial problems disappear, bring everybody together, kill off everybody else. Yeah. The next step would be to render the masses docile, obedient to their masters, by using fluoridation. Now I've shown you that they can do it by microchip. And another way. You see, their plan, quote, the increase of the world's population is to be strictly controlled on the excuse that the earth cannot feed the numbers that will result from unrestricted births. Despite the fact that starvation and the want are brought about by diabolical controls. So quote, the king despot, the Antichrist, will decide how many human beings required to serve the state. His efficiency experts, quote, will advise him how many of each type of human should be born. Selected males, picked for their mental and physical features, will father the human race by means of artificial insemination. Women who have been specially selected will be used as human incubators. Extensive experiments have already been carried out behind Iron Curtain in this field of science for the past 37 years. Now, I'm not a human calculator, so I pulled my little calculator out. Did it? And I put down the date of this document, and I subtract 37 from it, and since 1918, they've been doing this. Since 1918, they've been doing this. You understand this? So 1919 was the second phase of the New Age movement by Alice Bailey. Bing, bing, bing. After these steps are done, in this diabolical conspiracy, it would be a simple matter to erase all knowledge of God from the human mind by scientific brainwashing systematically applied, and the rule of Satan will take over instead of that Christ which is King. Y'all ever heard of the falling away by chance and the man of sin being revealed? See, all this evidence clearly indicates that it's not sufficient to kneel and pray, but you must work by passing the word. Certainly, to be saved and born again, and I'll talk about that this afternoon in my Bible study, but very simply, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house, Acts 16:31. And repent, turn from your sins. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. And confess your sin to Jesus, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. And confess Jesus before men. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt receive in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. Family, this is real. What I'm trying to get across to people. In whatever way I got here. Maybe small, but it's all I've got. I depend on God to get out the rest. Because it's what he promised to. And there's others that are getting the truth out in different places. It's what they're up to, and they're coming to a pinnacle, you might say. But they lose. There's no way they can win. It's impossible for them to win. Having done essential things, the national governments should be recognized to function as it's laid down by the constitutionalists. But we know that Jesus Christ is going to lay the law down after Armageddon. The rule of Almighty God will be put into effect upon this earth after Armageddon, which is 7 years down the road, once the first seal is broken, and that hasn't happened yet. It's impossible to prove otherwise. That's what they're trying to do now with telling you the four stupid blood moons is ridiculous. That's utter nonsense. Tetrad, this. They've had blood moons every year since the dawn of time. They've had things happen along. Family, giving you all this stuff about tetrad and four blood moons and this happened, that happened for Jewish people, is an utter nonsense. Total nonsense and a waste of money to buy those stupid books. Family, not at all. Hagee, Blitz, Jonathan Kahn, all these are con artists. You heard me right. Controlled by the 501c3. Another thing they tell them to do . The pastor of the church cannot actively support legislation that declares that children belong to their parents as opposed to authority of the state. Oh, pastor of the church cannot actively support legislation that declares that children belong to the parents as opposed to authority of the state. Whoa. The pastor of the church cannot actively support legislation that opposes the state's lottery or other legalized gambling. Okay. So why do you have pastors like Chuck Baldwin and the rest of them and John MacArthur talking about political issues? Is that a pastor or a presenter? Or a pseudo-pastor? What's going on there? That we're to rebel. Rick Joyner, Chuck Baldwin, going against God's commandments in Romans 13. But when the government causes you to sin, you refuse. I guess John MacArthur didn't learn about that part. Whew! Man, this air is going to get hot. And even says in the 501c3, that the pastor of the church can make no public declaration that the church congregation is to obey God and not the government. Say what? and even if the governments stand in violation of God's law, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Whew! And the pastor of the church cannot oppose laws or support or legalize sodomy, which is in effect conflict with the Word of God. And yet, what are they doing today? Oh, I tell you, Westboro Baptist Church. Then you got the other churches, the Catholic churches, says they got a switch over, even got homosexual pastors, ministers, and priests and whatever else. Man, it's a world gone crazy. Isn't that what the Bible says in the first place? It sure does. Well, now you know my theme song. It's going by the book. It sure is. Every hook, line, and sinker. Family, it's close. We are close, close, close. We're very close. Let y'all know that we're played up at, woo, some things I learned today. I tell you, I learn something new every day I come out here. Our broadcasts of Bible studies are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And highpointradio.net, he plays it voluntarily, plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. And for us, we appreciate it. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net. He has sponsors, and he's trying to, you know, he's building up his network. And there are sponsors up there, so look up his network. Find out what his sponsors are if you have to do some kind of business and use his sponsors. Give him a call or email and show him support. And for us, it's he just plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. And I sure do appreciate that. Churches are changing, family. They're turning. Little by little. Till nobody's paying any attention until, like they said, before you know it. It's going to be a socialist nation, but it's going to be Luciferian. People want to know how this happened. Huh. So the diverse nation, right? Recently, past few days, title, to fill teacher vacancies, school districts are turning to an unexpected source from the Philippines. Top-notch teachers took them to an unexpected place, the Philippines, bringing foreigners over. They want you gone. Common Core, to control the education, to downplay it. No Child Left Behind. That was a sneaky way that the Bushes got around homeschooling. Eastern Stars, Freemasonry, controls the churches, law enforcement, small towns, and big towns. In big cities, behind your back. And even others that want to do the best, teachers want to do good, law enforcement want to do good, under strict control and in fear of losing their jobs, and law enforcement, fear of their lives. To tell on their fellow brother, Knights of Malta, Freemason, or whatever. Or, I also have told you all about the infiltration of law enforcement by violence. We started in 2006, that will soon replace all the police nationwide under American police force. It's talked about by Clinton to make a national police force. So I got to show you how despotic that the cops are today, so you'll want it. Sandy Hook, to justify putting police in your schools, to protect the schools, really, from the parents who won't take their kids out when they start the vaccinations. Family, you better know what's going on. And child euthanasia in Oregon. Did you know that recently there was an article came out, and these articles are not just sporadic. They go throughout the United States when they come out. That's how they do it. About a young lady that wanted to euthanize herself in guess which state? Oregon, 29 years old. She's choosing the day she wants to die. There's not a cell in my body that's suicidal. But she's going to choose a day to die. Guess where? In Oregon. die with dignity. That's where they're working on child euthanasia in Oregon. How about that, huh? And the era of widespread biometric identification and microchip implants is here. Found an article about that. A school banned a Christian club. man, I can't keep up with this. It's going so fast. It's going very, very fast. Despite the Supreme Court gay marriage decision, three states vow to keep the ban. And Connecticut declared a public health emergency. Getting it all started. How far will they go this time? I don't know. Who knows how far they'll go? Sometimes it comes, you say, oh, it's here. And then they'll fizzle. They just want to test. One of these is not going to be a test one day, though. It could happen by the 15th of October. It's hard to say. I personally don't care because I know Jesus Christ won already. It's just getting information to others. Because when it happens, there'll be a paradigm. Your life will change. Then you'll adapt accordingly. But if you love Jesus Christ, you promote this King James Bible, you will be looked at much differently, to say the very least. Even talks about in this, well, there it is, actually worked out. Era of widespread biometric identification, microchip, Motorola. There's a digital tattoo will be used to ensure that only the owner of a phone is able to unlock it. There it is in writing. Another one. I didn't even see this. Super thin, flexible material based on Vivalink, eSkin TM technology. Nickel-sized tattoo is adhesive. Lasts for 5 days. Is made to stay on through showering, swimming, like a Band-Aid or something. Then they're going to get one that's going to be permanent. This is just a test. It's called the Mark of the Beast. Family, we're coming to the end of the program. And tonight, 8 to 9, I am considering here in the future of Bible study going from 7:30 to 9. I'm thinking about it. Right now it's 8 to 9, but the thought is crossing my mind. 7:30 to 9, Monday through Fridays, along with broadcast 4 to 6. Monday through Fridays. Oh, I'll be a busy beaver. But that's what it's about. I'm going to have this up by not too long from now, this broadcast today. I'd like to get it out to people to let them know what's going on. I'd like to see it go viral or whatever. Whoever can do that, I'd like to see it happen. I don't get anything out of these. I don't have a donate button. I don't have any products to sell. I don't sell gold because they're going to confiscate it anyway. I was going to a network at one time, they kept telling me, Tom, why don't you sell gold? Sell that. I said, yeah, well, I just want to get in the conversation. The reason I didn't do it in the couple of networks I was doing broadcasting at, I couldn't do it and look myself in the mirror. Because I know that once they declare martial law, they're going to confiscate your gold. And you say, well, I'm going to hide it in wherever. Well, you might as well eat it because you can't use it. It'll be against the law. They're not telling you that. Like I couldn't say, well, buy gold for me for 10, you know, whatever, because I know they're going to take it. They took it, Gold Confiscation Act in 1940s. FDR, that wacko family, I know what they're going to do. But they still lose, no matter what they do, because Jesus Christ is coming back. That's the bottom line. But judgment is coming. You should expect it. What we've done, what Europe has done, what the world has done to his people, you guarantee judgment's coming. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will not be mocked. He's storing it up. When the last person accepts Jesus as Savior, when he's preached the gospel in all the corners of the world, man, you better buckle up. It's coming. And the wrath of God in that first trumpet. Family, they're trying to lie to you and tell you Armageddon now or we're already in the tribulation is already done. That's all lies. And now you can see how they can lie to you at the highest level. I've proven that today. Jesus won at the cross of Calvary. Whose side are you on? Because he's won already. We're just counting the casualties of those that rejected Jesus. And the preachers aren't helping much at all. Rabbis or priests. Rise up, watchmen, to preach the truth. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. This is your watchman. Signing off.
Down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.